view of where we've been, but I want us to think about, just in the section of scriptures we've looked at so far in the life of Christ, what do we know about Jesus? Now, I know we know a lot about Jesus. We could go back to the Old Testament and say, here's what we know about Jesus. We could look at the rest of the gospel accounts in the New Testament and say, here's what we know about Jesus. But all I want to do is, okay, from these early chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's all we've looked at. We've looked at the first four chapters of Matthew, the first chapter of Mark, the first four chapters of Luke, first four chapters of John. That's all we've looked at. So what do we know about Jesus from those chapters? And what I want to do is to try to get all of us to try to remember some things that we know and to pull up some questions from our Soldiers of Christ stuff. And if you're saying, I don't know what Soldiers of Christ is, we put together some questions, just some cards that have the information on them that we're going through as a part of this. And so if you see something on the screen that says prophet, priest, or king and has a kind of a question and answer, those are from these cards that we're using that have key facts. They have key locations. We'll talk about some of those tonight, some key chapters and some memory verses on them. So hopefully we're working through those and learning what we can. But I want to share in the time we have maybe up to 15 things. Is it 15? Nope, 18. Up to 18 things that we know about Jesus. And we won't get through all 18 of these, but I always like to have more material than we're going to need. So I may need some help as we go through this. And so if I call upon you, don't be bashful, but you all can shout out answers too. That's a part of what Soldiers of Christ is all about. So what do we know about Jesus? First thing I want us to see, say that again. You're right, buddy. He is. He's the Son of God, and that's going to be down on the list. First thing on the list, Mr. David, is that Jesus is, you know what that says? Jesus is God. Now, there's some of your friends that don't believe that. Some of your friends that would not say that. Does the Bible teach us that Jesus is God? Where does it teach us that? In the chapters that I mentioned, the early chapters of the gospel accounts, where do we learn that? John 1:1. So in John 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus. So if Jesus is the Word, who is Jesus? Jesus is God. Is Jesus a God, just like some other gods? He's not a God. How many gods are there? Oh, there's one. So if Jesus is God, he's not some God or a God. He is the God. We got that? David, who's Jesus? Right. And who else is he? He is God. All right. We got that one? Number two. If Jesus is God, Jesus is eternal. What does eternal mean? Forever and ever. He's always been. And he always, well, wait a minute, I thought he was born, I thought he'd lived for 33 years, and he died, and he was buried, and he was raised. What do you mean he is eternal? What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Those verbs there indicate a continual existence. And so when Jesus comes to this earth, when Jesus is on this earth, this is one of these key locations. How do I know Jesus is eternal? Because that's what John 1:1 says. So when Jesus comes to this earth, was that the beginning of his existence? No. He'd always been. We got to get that in our, because some of your friends don't believe that. Some of your friends don't believe that Jesus is God. Some of your friends don't believe that Jesus is eternal. And this one for sure some of your friends don't believe, and that is that Jesus is... Caleb? Jesus is... Jehovah. I know that's a weird word. It was to the Jews too. They didn't know if they wanted to say it or not. Jesus is Jehovah. What does that mean? Jesus is Jehovah. Who is Jehovah? God. God is Jehovah. Jehovah's God. So why do we use the word Jehovah? What's Jehovah all about? What is that name? Say it again, Scott. God with us. John, what'd you say? Lord. Say it again. Lord. Okay, he's Lord. When Moses, you go back to the Old Testament. Remember when Moses was walking by a certain region of Horeb, and what's in Horeb? What's another name for Horeb? Josh's class. Six of them are paying attention in your class, Josh. Good job. All right, so Horeb is Sinai. All right, so when he's walking by there and he sees a bush that's on fire, but it's not being consumed. When was the last time you saw that? It haven't happened. Now, here's the deal. Have you all ever been to a bonfire? We used to have bonfires. Back in the day, we used to have bonfires on growing up on my parents' property. We would burn all sorts of stuff. And then people came, oh, you can't do that anymore. You're burning the branches and the leaves. And okay, what are we supposed to do with it? But we used to have these big old bonfires. But you know what eventually happened to that fire? It burned down until we threw more goodies on it. And then it came back up. But Moses sees a bush that's on fire and it's not being consumed. Would you walk over and check out the bush? Would you keep your distance? Would you take your shoes off? So God says, take your shoes off. Why? You're standing on holy ground. What made that ground holy? God did. God was there. He made that ground holy. And so when God gives Moses the instructions, you're going to Pharaoh, you're going to stand before Pharaoh, and gives all the, okay, who shall I, or first you're going to go to the Jews, all right, God, but who shall I say sent me? I am. I am who I am. That's Jehovah. Who do I say sent me? I am sent me. Jehovah sent me. God is the eternal one. He is Jehovah. Jesus is that one. And so, and you all have mentioned, and we're going to get to more of those in this list. When you read through your Bible, and you read through your Bible, and you get to a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, how is that different than the lowercase letters? That word, when you're reading it, to the Jews was the word for Jehovah. Now, when Jesus is coming on the scene, before he ever comes on the scene, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, Isaiah 40 verse 3, God made a prophecy through Isaiah 700 plus years before Jesus ever came. And he made that prophecy about a guy named John the Baptizer. And what was John the Baptizer going to do? He's going to be the forerunner. And what's he going to do? Prepare the way of the Lord. When you read that in Isaiah 40 and verse 3, what do you notice about the word Lord? All caps. So John's going to prepare the way for Jehovah. When we read in the New Testament, John was the forerunner of who? Jesus. So what does that tell you about Jesus? Jesus is Jehovah. And there's more proofs than that you can read. I just think that's the easiest one to show your friends. You take your friends to Matthew chapter, and that's why we make it a key location. You take your friends to Matthew 3 and verse 3. What else can you say about it? Because the quotation in Matthew 3 and verse 3, if you look in your Bible, you'll see it's a quotation from the Old Testament. And it's coming from Isaiah 40 verse 3. What's God telling us in Matthew 3? Jesus is Jehovah. Some of your friends don't believe that. It's okay. They don't have to. So, David, help me out here. All right, David, Jesus is who? God. All right, Rod, you with me? Number two, bud. Jesus is what? Eternal. Caleb, Jesus is Jehovah. Number four, John chapter 1, Jesus is what else? Quintel, Jesus is the Creator. Wait a minute, I thought God was the Creator. I thought the Bible said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? So, oh, what's that, Jerry? Jesus is God. So in John chapter 1 and verse 3, what was Christ's role in creation? Some of your friends want that to be, he was the created one. He's not the created one. He's the creator of everything. John 1 and verse 3 says, there was nothing made that he didn't make. That's an interesting way for God to say it. What does that indicate? There was nothing made that he didn't make. So everything that exists, who made it? That'd be Jesus. So Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is Caleb. Number three, Jehovah. Jesus is Quintel. Creator. Number five, Jesus is Emmanuel. And I know that all of these go together. Now, I'm separating them out, but they're all the same thing. They're all, and they're just different facets of the same thing. So when Mary, well, let me go back up. When Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, was he excited? We're going to have a kid. Was he excited? No. Why was he not excited? It's not my kid. What does that tell us about things today, huh? It's not my kid. Was he concerned about that? How does the Bible describe Joseph? As a selfish man? As a mean man? He was just? Considerate? That's a big word. You're smart. He's considerate. And so when he finds this out, he's going to make a public spectacle of this woman who's been out running around on him, right? What a guy. Not secretly. But before he's able to do that, he gets a message from the Lord that tells him where this baby is from. And in this message from the Lord in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 is where we see that you shall call his name. It's back up in verse 21. It says he's going to be called Jesus. But in verse 23 it says you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So who's Jesus? God. So when he's on this earth, he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. All of these things go together. If you can get these things about Jesus, you will be miles ahead of where your friends are. Because God, John 1 and verse 14, God became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did he do that? Would you ever want to become an ant and dwell among the ants? I mean, try to think about how high of a creature we are. What's the lowest creature you can think of? Can you get lower than an ant? I'm sure you can. A what? A roach. You should see the face that Nicole is making. She's not just saying roach with a straight face. She's like, a roach? So can you imagine in your high and lofty and mighty position that you are as a human being, taking on the nature of a, let me see if I can get Nicole's face here, of a roach. Can you imagine? No. Would you do that? Would you do it to save all of the roaches? You won't even save one roach, will you? You wouldn't save one roach. Would you become a roach to save all of the roaches? Of course not. You step, well, maybe you don't step on them. Maybe you call somebody else to come and step on them. Jesus, and the comparison is not even, the comparison between God and human is not even close to human and roach. I mean, the comparison there is miles apart. But he became a man. Why? He became a man in order to save us. That's how much your God, your eternal God who is Jehovah, that's how much he loves you. Number whatever we're on. Number six, Jesus is, Victor, Jesus is who? The Christ. What does that mean? You know, as a kid, I just thought it was Jesus Christ. That was his name. David Sproul, that's my name. So Jesus Christ, that's his name. Is that the way it works? No, that's not the way it works. He's the Christ. What does that mean? Being the Christ, he is the Messiah. Those two terms, once you can get that in your mind, that the Christ is the New Testament word for the Messiah. Well, okay, who is the Messiah? The anointed one. So, okay, now that's what the word means. So the Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek word Christ, they both mean the anointed one. Great. Who's that? This is the one that the Old Testament, what's a three sentence, not words, three sentence summary for the Bible? Someone is coming. That's your first sentence. So the someone who is coming, who's the someone? It's the Messiah. When you go back to that promise being made in that Old Testament, and is it here? Yes, it is here. All right, so how many prophecies were there in the Old Testament? 332 about this coming Messiah. And we get to the New Testament, and that's why when you read in John chapter 1 and verse 41, we have found the Messiah. How long do you think they'd been looking? I mean, they'd been waiting for a long time. And so when you read in John chapter 1 about these disciples coming to each, hey, we found the Messiah. Yeah, yeah. Somebody said that a few years ago, and he turned out to be a farce. It wasn't him. And, you know, my grandfather once told me he thought he found the Messiah. Yeah, never. It's not. Can you imagine? I mean, how often would we go back in that time and think, yeah, we've heard all of these stories. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. And they come and say, we have found the Messiah. One part of your brain might be skeptical. The other part of your brain might say, yes, could this be? Could this be? How? Now, could they know? Not just think or wish or believe, could they know that it was the Messiah? How could they know? Miracles. When they started seeing prophecy, 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 fulfilled. I mean, imagine you're going through the process. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where was this guy born? Oh, Bethlehem of Judah. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of people born in Bethlehem. Big deal. All right, you know, but he didn't come out of Egypt then. Oh, he did come out of Egypt. Check. And you start going through and you're like, oh, he did that. And all of a sudden, things start to come together with this guy that have never come together with anybody else. Who is he? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the one we've been waiting for. So in the Old Testament, if you were a prophet, you were anointed. When you became a prophet, if you were a priest, you were anointed. When you became a king, what did Samuel do with Saul? What did he do with David? Anointed them to become king. Jesus is prophet, priest, king. He's the anointed one. Moses said, there's going to come a prophet like me, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Jesus is a priest. What does it mean that Jesus is a priest? He intercedes. It's a good way to say it. He intercedes for us. What did a priest do in the Old Testament? Offered sacrifices. Did Jesus offer a sacrifice? Offered him his own life. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So that's kind of, and I should have put these up there. But when you take those and pick those apart, and you see that this, when they ask the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Not Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus did. And you imagine being one of those individuals that starts piecing that together. Would that be exciting? Some of you like puzzles. All right? My sister sent me a puzzle that she got, sent me a picture of a puzzle that she got for Christmas. You know, y'all know those little Lego heads? You know, the little orange, not orange, yellowish color, whatever. You know those little Lego heads that you can buy that have all sorts of different expressions on them? The entire 1,000-piece puzzle was only these little yellow Lego heads. And I was like, no thanks. I mean, she sent me a picture. Here's what we're doing. I'm like, yeah, better you than me. All right, that looks dip. But can you imagine putting that puzzle together, and as she's putting it, and all of a sudden, things start to come. Can you imagine that with Jesus? I'm not saying it was a puzzle, but when they started putting the pieces together, oh, he did? Oh, did you see those people spitting on him? That was prophesied. Did you see? And all, when they get to his last week of life, that's where you really start to see those prophecies come together. And they see one after another, he is the Christ. We run right over that, Jesus Christ. We just run right over that. But Paul was put in prison. You know why Paul was put in prison? Because he went around preaching, Jesus is the Christ. he's been raised from the dead. We need to back up and think about how significant that is, that Jesus is the one that the Bible promised for all of those years. We got through 9. I said we had 18. Good. We made it halfway through tonight. That's not bad.